And so we can dive right into the Word of God. And tonight's encouragement, I hope this can really bless our hearts. We're going to be looking at the book of Ruth, a wonderful book in the Bible. Not just for the girls, it's good for the guys too. But the title of this evening's message, Don't Leave, Cleave. Don't leave, cleave. The idea of cleaving in scriptures, of course, to adhere to cling to hang on to, essentially join together to be one. Like husband and wife, they cleave. Shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay, so it's not like we would use the word cleave today, like to split wood in the scriptural terms. Cleave is in fact the opposite, to come together as one. But let's go to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. We've been going through the books of the Bible with my kids in the morning. And Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. Only four chapters to this Old Testament book, but just a wonderful book. A story of God's provision, redemption, and abundant blessing. But we're going to go to verse 14 of chapter 1. In fact, we're going to just stay in chapter 1 tonight. But Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word of God says, And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Again, I'm not going to go, you know, preach so much the main story of Ruth. I trust that you read that and have been blessed by it. Instead, going to just really focus on chapter 1 tonight and really where the Lord is really leading me in how this all sets up is because before all the sacrificial labors of Ruth in chapter 2, you know, she's laboring for her mother-in-law and for herself. Before the, I guess you could say, plot twist, some of the scheming by Naomi in chapter 3. And then, of course, before the redeeming acts of Boaz in chapter 4, all the way back in chapter 1, in fact, in this verses that we just read here, there was a choice made by Ruth that determined, really the rest of the book, how it plays out, a choice that determined what path Ruth would walk, a choice that was actually equally given to Ruth's sister-in-law, Orpah, but of course she chose a completely different opposite path, a choice that, well, Lord willing, that we can learn from, even during the hardest of times, perhaps especially during the hardest of times and the moments of great loss, maybe take this away. Don't leave, cleave. And so let's bow our heads in prayer, ask God's blessing on the message. Abba, Father, what a joy to be in thy house tonight. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, for just the reassurance we have of our eternal security in Jesus Christ, saved forever, that we are your child and forever. That's who we are. And so what a comfort there. Thank you for your precious eternal word that as we read it, we can take comfort that this is from you. And so, Father, we thank you for the testimony of the saints that have gone before us. We thank you of Sister Ruth all those years ago, back during the time of Judges, Lord, and that in hardships, when things got dire, when there was great tragedy and loss, instead of just, you know, up and leaving, going back to Moab, she doubled down, and so on you. And so, Father, what an encouragement, what a blessing. Help us, Lord, help me to make application of your truth. We love you, Father, and we just give you all the praise. Guide my lips that I would speak what you would happen to say, and help us to truly cleave to you, Father. We just love you. We thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. And so just for application, we're going to be in chapter 1 tonight. But as we read this, of course, I'm a fan of application. You know, how can we apply what we read? You know, this is not just a historical account. Well, happened to Ruth. Good for her. You know, and the Lord used that, of course, the lineage of Jesus through her with Boaz. We understand that. And God can work abundantly above all that we can hope and ask and think. That is very evident here in the life of Ruth. But as you read the scriptures, scripture is reading you, right? It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And so may we always apply the word of God to us. And so as we read chapter 1, if you could kind of, you know, entertain me a little bit here. Ruth and Orpah, if they could perhaps picture you and I, okay, Christians. Of course, you're going to make two separate choices. And that's kind of the idea here. Are we going to be like more like Ruth? Are we going to be more like like Orpah? And then the two husbands that they marry, Mahlon and Chilion, if you want to think, they can picture the Christian life, right? With all its ups, blessings, and downs, and tragedies. Okay, think of it that way. And then Naomi, well, okay, she doesn't quite picture God, okay? Not from that standpoint. She does get bitter. Say, call me Mara. You know, she's really upset, really doubtful, really bitter. And so she doesn't picture God per se, but from the standpoint of understanding tonight's message, maybe she can perhaps picture the path to God, if you will, because she is returning from Moab back to Judah. Okay, so not God, but the path to God or the path of God. And then last but not least, Moab in this illustration, you know, pictures the unsaved world. Okay, so you have Moab, the unsaved world. Judah, of course, she's going back that way. Ruth is the path of God. And then Chilion and Malon picture perhaps the Christian life, the ups and downs, the triumphs and tragedies of the Christian life. And then you and I were represented by Ruth and Orpah. Okay, so let's go to verse 1. It kind of starts out here. And I think of my life, perhaps you can kind of feel along with me that way, how we first got saved and came out of the world, right? We got saved, we are in the world but not of the world. And so the idea, let's look at verse 1 here. It kind of sets up the story for us in chapter 1, of verse 1 of Ruth. Says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And so God's people, of course pictured by the Israelites here, going into Moab, pictures the world. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. And so these are who represents you and I. You and I can kind of see ourselves in the application here of Ruth and Orpah. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And so the idea is you have Ruth and Orpah, they married two Jewish men, right? And the idea is, the picture here is they come out of of Moab, where they're still in Moab, okay, but they're not off Moab, because now they're off of the Jewish religion, okay, from that standpoint. They married Jewish men, they're coming out of the Moab religion and culture. They're still in Moab, but they're not off Moab, okay, and so you kind of feel how it is with us as Christians today. We're in the world, no doubt, but we're not off the world. And then it says here in verse 4, the rest of it, and they dwell there about 10 years. And so in one verse, it kind of fast forward 10 years. I mean, there's a lot happening. And so it kind of plays in my mind here. This continues for 10 years. So I imagine if I'm Ruth or if I'm Orpah, the idea is, you know, we're getting to know Naomi, okay, the way of God from that standpoint, better. You know, we're living the Christian life. I've been saved now. I'm in the world, but I'm not off the world. And during this 10-year stretch, you know, I've been, you know, starting to assimilate in the ways of church, of Christian, of doctrine, of praying, of reading my Bible, of giving financially, you know, of going to church, getting involved in ministry. I even sing in the choir. And so for 10 years, the life that I know as a new believer, okay, we were in Moab before, you know, I'm just drawing this parallel. And then they married Jewish men. The idea is get saved, that you and I get saved. We're in the world, not off the world. And so for 10 years, we are kind of plugged into God's church and we're faithfully serving and all goes well until tragedy strikes. And so that's Chilion and Mahlon, you know, picturing the Christian life with its ups and downs, because of course they both die. And so verse 5, so all goes well until tragedy strikes. Very similar, if we can see this happening in our life, may it help prepare us for the darkest of times and the greatest of losses. So verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And so of course it, you know, Christian life is full of hardships. Not just one son dies, both her sons die, and sometimes we feel as though we haven't even recovered from one tragedy. Boom, another tragedy hits. You know, just tough times ahead and nonstop, just like waves crashing in. Just don't let up. And so that's just how life can be. And so verse 6. And so what happens? Then she arose with her daughters-in-law. Again, Naomi pictures the path of God. The daughters-in-law, that's you and I, as now believers, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. By the way, the Lord always provides bread for his children, amen. It's verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And so they're still sticking with Naomi at this point. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So They're going the right way. Again, Naomi picturing the path, the way of God. She's going back to Judah, you know, and her two daughters-in-law are going with her. And so that's wonderful. And so Ruth and Orpah, initially, they're still following the Lord. And so the idea, I think of myself, you know, if, even through the time of great loss and tragedy, you we're hurting, but, you know, we're still you know, plugging away. We're still going to church. We're still praying. We're still reading a Bible. We're still trying to live the life that we were living before the tragedy, you know. But then, after a while, discontentment perhaps sets in. Things are just not the same ever since, yet, you know, whatever tragedy, whatever hardship hit us, the fire seems to have gone out, you know, in our life. We try and try and try, but it's just not the same. And so we start thinking about our current situation, like, well, this is how things are. This is where I'm at now. And then you kind of see the path that you're going based on where you are now. From our perspective, things just don't look good. If we keep on our current course with how things are, it won't end well. And so then we start to panic and, well, I gotta change it up. I gotta do something. So look at verse 8, because again, don't miss this. Ruth and Orpah, initially, they are walking with Naomi. Okay, they stuck with them, both of them. But Naomi says in verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The idea is Naomi, I believe she's being sincere here. Now she's bitter, okay, but she's, I guess, sincerely bitter. Okay, but she's saying here, she really thinks, and she's sharing with Ruth and Orpah, that for her daughters-in-law to accompany her back to Judah, that's not a good thing, okay? And she wants the best for her daughter-in-law. She wants them to be prosperous. And in her mind, she's thinking for them to just go back to Moab. Again, Moab pictures the world. For them to go back to Moab would give them the best likelihood of getting what they desire, which is a family, because they died, you know, they're widows and childless, right? And so staying in Moab would be better for them instead of just following her back to Judah. You know, if they stay in Moab, perhaps they can find, you know, a life that she couldn't give them, right? And so look at verse 9. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. The idea is a new husband, okay, in Moab. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. So kind of a partial goodbye here, although not yet. But she is kind of releasing her daughters-in-law, giving them her blessing, that, you know, she's freeing them of any obligation to care for her. She wants them to be provided for. And she's thinking, well, if these two Moabite, you know, my two daughters-in-law, they've not been to Judah, where I came from. Back in my hometown, the people won't like them. Okay, they might scoff at them. They might look at them weird. And if they come with me back to Judah, you know, she's Jewish, she's okay. But these women are Moabite widows. They got no chance of getting remarried. They got no chance of getting their heart's desires fulfilled, right? They got no chance of being a wife, no chance of being a, that's what she's thinking. No chance of being a mom. And so she's kind of going off in her mind, she's thinking this way. You know, she wants them to be provided for. And in her mind, the best way for her daughters to be provided, for her daughters-in-law to be provided for, is to stay in Moab. I'm going to go back to Judah. That's where my people are. I miss home. But you guys stay here. That's what's best for you. That's the best way for them to get remarried. Not just for want. You know, I want to be married. Not just because of want, but also for survival. The idea is that widows have nothing. Okay, then the husband would be a provider for them. So this is not just for fun. This is their survival going forward. I mean, they're poor. They don't have a whole lot of property or anything. And so this is for her daughters-in-law's well-being, for them to survive for the rest of their life. Now, initially, Ruth and Orpah, or, well, perhaps you and I, we don't want to leave Naomi. She's always known since we got saved. In fact, if you look at verse 10, look at what it says here. And they said unto her. So this is the reply. This is they, plural. Both Ruth and, to Orpah's credit, they both say this, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. That's commendable. Now, we know the story. Orpah doesn't stay. We know that. But initially, she, along with Ruth, said, no, we'll stick with you, Naomi. We'll stick with you. And that's a commendable statement. And I think of ourselves, you know, when times of great tragedy and loss. You know, we want to give it our best shot. We don't want to leave and throw in the towel and just going to go into our corner and die. That really stuck with me on Sunday there. The idea is we want to, you know, we know what's right. Let's do it. I'll stick with you, Naomi. I'll stick with you. So all seems good. But then human reasoning creeps in, right? Human reasoning kicks in or creeps in. Look at verse 11. So Naomi, she's not going to let up, and she kind of shares what she's thinking. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands?" Obviously, it's no. She's got no more kids. "Turn again, my daughters." In other words, don't come with me. Go back to Moab, okay? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight. Hypothetical, of course, it's not going to happen. But even at the best, it somehow she got hooked up tonight. Okay, I'm going to get married tonight, which is not going to happen. But this is just hypothetical to prove a point. And should also bear sons, plural. Would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Are you going to wait for my sons if I give birth to them 9 months from now, if I get married tonight, and then you're going to marry them as your husbands? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Are you going to wait for them and stay single so you can marry them when they grow up? That's not going to work. And so she says, "Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And so she's, of course, very bitter. And she's really saying, this has been a tough life. You still are young in your youth. Go back to Moab. Okay, don't come with me. If you come with me, you're not going to have the life that you want. You're not going to have a husband. You're not going to have a family. It's not going to work. You know, and so she, again, Ruth and Orpah, picturing you and I, initially, we want to follow God. But then the human reasoning kicks in, and she's sharing with them essentially that, you know, if you come with me, you're going to be wasting your life. You're not going to get what you want. So at this point, we have two options. Orpah, Christian A, Exhibit A, Orpah. Verse 14 says, well, the Word of God says this, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again." Because what she said, what Naomi said, struck a chord. You know, perhaps they weren't really thinking it throughly the first time. But now as Naomi kind of expounds her reasoning, it struck a chord with both of them. And so they both start crying. It's kind of a weep fest. And notice what it says here. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. This is a kiss of goodbye. So she gets it. She understands where Naomi's coming from, and she agrees. She consents. If you look back, in fact, I think it's verse 9, Naomi kisses both her daughters-in-law, and now Orpah is kind of returning the kiss. It's okay, I'll kiss you back, mother-in-law, Naomi. And so Orpah, Christian A, agrees with Naomi's reasoning, kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, and then leaves. She leaves, heartbroken, to find fulfillment back in the world, which is pictured by Moab, right? She goes back to where she came, and this can very well picture the Christian, still saved, but because of tragedy and loss, now living back in the world. No more separation. Orpah will have no one back in Moab, back home in Moab, to worship Jehovah with. Remember, before, at least she had a family. She had a little church group. Now she's by herself. So Orpah will have no one else to worship Jehovah with, will have no one to do a Bible study with, no one to pray with, etc. She will now follow the lifestyle of her new husband, which would be a Moabite man, so a worldly man. Okay, so the idea is she seeks to find fulfillment in the world. Although she's still saved. Okay, I mean, that's the application I'm taking. In fact, look at verse 15. And she said, Naomi's talking to Ruth, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods," because that's all that's in Moab, represents the world. "Return thou after thy sister-in-law." So you go too. That's the only way you can find what you want. Now, the other choice, pictured by Ruth, who Christian B, instead of going back to the world, she cleaves to Naomi. So she doesn't leave, she cleaves. She doubles down on the Christian faith, draws nearer to God than she ever has before, completely leaving the world behind, because she's literally getting out of Moab. Okay, she's not even in that zip code. This Christian B, pictured by Ruth, in the midst of tragedy and heartache, completely surrenders their will and lives to God. Now, what's a huge aha for me is that it's not so much that Ruth disagrees with Naomi's reasoning. She very well could agree with what Naomi is saying. If I go with you, sure, I might not get what I want versus staying in the world in Moab. It's not like she disagrees with Naomi, but I believe it's following God is more important to Ruth than what she wants. Huge. It's not like she's disagreeing in logic here, because what Naomi says, the human logic is sound, makes sense. But to her, her desires aren't as important as the principle of following God. And we see the two ladies, Orpah and Ruth, picturing a Christian today, they make decisions in the same circumstances based on two different factors. Orpah based on personal preference, and Ruth based on principle. And a personal preference, of course, doesn't mean that Ruth doesn't have preferences. If you ask her, do you want to get married? Yeah! But her principle that she makes a decision on is cleave to God, no matter what. No matter what. I don't want to point the finger at Orpah, because I find myself in her shoes many times. The idea is what suits best, that's what I'm going to go. Whatever human reasoning suits best, that's how I'm going to do it. Whereas Ruth, regardless of what might happen to me, I'm going to follow God no matter what. I'm going to cleave to God no matter what. It's not going to be based on human reasoning or preference. It's going to be based on principle and faith, right? Faith. Always choose the Lord. In fact, look at verse 16. Verse 14, but Ruth clave unto her. And then Ruth says in verse 16, and Ruth said, look at how devoted she is to God, and by extension, Naomi. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, even though they might not care for me. And thy God, my God. And so she doesn't want to go back to Moab. She doesn't want to go back to the world. That's not an option. Your God, that for the last 10 years, I meant it. When we went to church and when we sang, I will follow Jesus, I meant it. When we sang, I surrender all, I meant it. When we did those Bible studies, I was plugged in. When we sang in the choir, I meant every note that I sung. I mean, the idea is, I wasn't just playing church for those 10 years. Where you go, Naomi, I want to go, because your God, he's my God. And that's Jerusalem, that's where we should worship. I mean, you know, obviously that's not the case. Worship in spirit and in truth. We know that in John 4. But at this point, the idea is, if you're Jewish, you worship at Jerusalem. That's where you go, back to Judah. And so where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord, she has a personal relationship, a strong personal relationship with God. Do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee from me. She's saying, even if I die and they scoff at me back in Judah, that's okay. Because I love the Lord, and I love you. and so that is her commitment. She's always going to choose the Lord. And this challenge to you and I, my friends, even in great tragedy and loss, Mahlon and Chilion, they represent the Christian life. Blessings, but also burdens. Triumphs, but also tragedies. You know, we get what the Lord asked Job. Lord, taketh away. And at the times of great loss, don't leave. Cleave, okay? Cleave to the Lord. Double down on the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord than we've ever been before. Always choose the Lord, even if we think that we are, you know, foregoing what we want in life. Cleave to the Lord anyway. Choosing the Lord is always the right choice. Besides, we never quite know how the Lord would bless. He didn't have to. But of course, you read the rest of the book, and you're like, wow, God really blessed. She got a family anyway. And then, of course, now her grandson is the, her son is the, is it the grandfather of David, or great-grandfather of David, of Obed. There's a tremendous testimony how God used her. Even if it means that we might live the humble life, the Israelites might scoff and reject her. even if it means that we might live the hard life she had to toil away for her mother-in-law and for herself, always choose the Lord. Such faithfulness to the Lord doesn't go unnoticed. Boaz, now he pictures God, and he noticed right away, right? Because Scripture tells us about God, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. And I'm reminded, it's not as though Ruth didn't agree with Naomi's reasoning. It's just that she put herself last. That you're right, but to me, God's more important. And it's also not as though Orpah didn't love Naomi. I'm sure Orpah did love Naomi. But the idea is not how much picturing God or the way of God. It's not just whether we love God or not. It's how much we love God. And sometimes Satan can deceive me and distract me to think, do I love God? Yes or no? And so as long as I check yes, I'm good. Well, the question is not just, do I love God, yes or no? The question is more open-ended, how much do I love God? Because I can love God a little bit, I can love God a lot. Both is still loving God. And so it's not whether I love God, yes or no, it's how much do I love God? Because I'm sure I want to give Orpah credit. She loved God from that standpoint, Naomi. But, I want this. And if I go with Naomi, I probably won't get that. So you make a good case. I'm going to go back to the world, Moab. Whereas Ruth is like, it's the other way around. She didn't disagree with Naomi's reasoning, but in her mind, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what. Everything else can kind of shake out and see what happens. But no matter what, this is non-negotiable. I'm not going to compromise this. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to cleave. Amen. Which, by the way, even in cases of finding a spouse, I know that's God's sovereignty. I get that. If God wants to bring a godly spouse into your life, think about it. Wouldn't he do it when you are walking in the path that he wants you to walk? Right? If God's going to bring you a godly spouse anyway, he'll do it when you're obeying him. Amen. And so, boy, what a challenge, what a thought. When we lose things, when we lose what's dear to us, don't leave, cleave. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a thought. I thank you, Father, for the testimony of Sister Ruth. And Lord, just how amazing you are. You certainly blessed her. She didn't see it coming, and she was willing to suffer, yet she got blessed. And so, Father, what an encouragement. Help us to cleave to you no matter what. Help us not to go back to the Moab, the world, for fulfillment. Lord, sufficiency is in you. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you for this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple